Well, I'm very grateful for your presence. I'm very grateful for being invited to come and to be with you. And what I want us to do this morning is to think about, in God's wisdom, this great parallel that he has placed before us. This whole idea of the Hebrew wandering in the wilderness. And starting with their time in bondage in Egypt, all the way through going into the promised land in Canaan. That is an analogy of the Christian life. And so we'll step through that and we'll have songs and some hymns to sing that will augment that. And so I'm very grateful for the men that have been able to come and were able to be here yesterday at the workshop. And they'll be helping to lead a lot of these songs that we'll be singing. And so we appreciate their work and their desire to continue to grow in their work and service to God. So I commend them to you. You get to learn to know people a little bit better when you work with them on things like this. You see their hearts, and this congregation is blessed indeed. So with that in mind, we'll start out our journey here, the Christian life. And it began with sin with the Hebrew people. They were in the wilderness, or in bondage in Egypt. And the Lord heard their cry. You know, but that's where they were, Joseph and had his father and his brothers come down. And hundreds of years later, they found themselves, instead of being, you know, part of this princely family that, you know, Joseph was, they find themselves enslaved. And he used this term crushed. You know, they were in this very difficult and hard situation. And so we see them and we understand in our lives, in the Christian life, we reach that point, do we not? And we understand, I am crushed by my iniquity, and I am in sin. I'm in bondage to sin. And so we read in Romans chapter 6, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. This time we'll sing, Lord, we come before thee now.
Number 6-8, Lord, we come before thee now.
Oh, do not.
God heard their cry, and he sent them Moses. And Moses is a foreshadowing of the Christ. He is this image of the Savior that would lead them out of bondage. And so our minds turn to that, and we think of our Savior. For us, as children of God, we look to the Lord as our Savior. And so in Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 19, and reading on down through the end of the chapter, it says, "Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, 'The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, to whom you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announced these days. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your father, saying to Abraham, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways.'" At this point, we'll sing the song, "Awake and Sing the Song of Moses and the Lamb."
If you have the songbook, it's number 6. "Awake and Sing the Song."
Awake and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Wake every heart and every tongue to praise the Savior's name. Sing of his dying love. Sing of his rising power. Sing how he intercedes above for those whose sin he bore. Sing on your heavenly way, he ransoms sinners. Sing on, rejoicing every day in Christ the glorious King. Soon shall you hear him say, "Ye blessed children, come." Soon will he call you hence away and take his pilgrim home.
As Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, there is that wondrous situation where they cross the Red Sea. And that passing through the Red Sea is this image of baptism in this analogy that we're looking at, that we're considering in our own lives. And so we'll read from 1 Corinthians 10. We'll read the first 4 verses. And then we'll sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated." 1 Corinthians 10, beginning at verse 1. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ."
Number 128, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated to Thee."
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever holy, all for Thee.
After they pass through the Red Sea, after we are baptized in our analogy, what the children of Israel then faced is after they went to Mount Sinai and received the law, after then they went to Kadesh Barnea and were preparing to go into the Promised Land. They sent in the spies, as you recall. And 10 of the 12 spies came back and said, we can't do this. We can't take this land. And two of the spies said, God's on our side. Of course we can take this land. But the people rebelled. We won't do this. And so they were to wander in the wilderness 1 year for each day the spies were in the land. 40 years. And so they spent that time in the wilderness. That's analogous to our pilgrimage. We are in our wilderness wandering. And we are faced with these challenges. And we eat of that spiritual bread, drink from that spiritual water. We live our lives day by day by the providence of God. His care for us, His providing for us in so many ways. In this pilgrimage, there were a number of battles that were fought. If you recall, the Amalekites came against the Israelites, and that was the case where Moses had to keep his arms upheld during the entire battle. And as he grew tired, Joshua, and others came and held his arms up for him. And while his arms were up, the Israelites prevailed. God was with them. And so that we have that story. Let us not be fooled. We, as we are going through life, we are in a battle. And this is a life and death battle. And by life and death, I don't mean anything so paltry as this earthen vessel. This body is going to die. I am very aware it's already decaying. But these fleshly bodies, they're going to die. That's not the life and death I'm talking about. I'm talking about eternal life and death. That's the battle we fight day by day as children of God. And we're going to sing here the song, Faith is the Victory. And as we sing that song, I love the third verse. It talks about let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. There is no one that is sitting on the sideline. We're not just sitting back. No, we have to put on that whole armor of God. And we need to engage in the fight. That eternal fight of life and death. And rest assured, faith is the victory. In 1 John chapter 5, we read verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Number 576. 576. Faith is the victory.
Do me so. Encamped along the hills of mighty Christian soldiers rise and press the battle where the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be heard. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith in life the whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and salvation's helmet on each head, which truth all gird about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
After their wilderness wandering, after their time spent in living day by day by God's providence, that 40 years came to an end and it was time to enter the Promised Land. And what they needed to do as they entered the Promised Land is to cross over the Jordan River. And so many times in hymns that we sing, songs that we sing, this crossing over the Jordan River is used as an image of death. That we cross over that into the Promised Land. And we'll sing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, here in just a moment. But let's begin by reading 1 Corinthians 5. And then I want to point some things out about that particular hymn. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first five verses. Say, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our, with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. In this hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Indeed, this particular hymn is the really the catalyst behind a lot of this lesson here this morning. So we think about this, and it talks about the bread of heaven, feed me till I want the manna. It talks about, you know, open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing waters flow. What's the crystal fountain? Well, the writer needed a two-syllable word for rock. That's all that is. And so as Moses struck the rock and the water flowed, and the people were given that spiritual drink. We get to that third verse of the song, where it says, when I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Well, what is that referring to? To remember, as the children of Israel were getting ready to cross over the Jordan to go into the Promised Land, the order in which they went across is worth noting, because what they did is the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, they went about a half a mile, a little more than a half a mile, ahead of the rest of the entire nation. And you better believe there are enemies watching. They're watching. They're seeing all of this. But the ark goes out alone, ahead of everyone. And they come to the river. Do you remember what happens when the priests set their foot in the verge of the river? They step their foot in the edge of the water. And upstream, the water stopped flowing. And the riverbed ran dry. And then, what did they do with the Ark of the Covenant? Those priests, they went into the middle of that riverbed and they stood there while the entire nation passed by. Now, what did that Ark of the Covenant represent? On top of the Ark of the Covenant, this box, on the top of that, there was the mercy seat, representing the presence of God. Where did that pillar of fire and pillar of smoke, where was that located? It was always above the mercy seat, the presence of God. And so what do we have here in this image? The priests go into the middle of the river. Not the priests. The point is it's God goes into the middle of the river, holds back the river, while the children of Israel pass through. My friends, we need not fear death. For our God is holding back the river, that we may have safe passage. Bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current. Land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever sing to thee. Let's think about these words, these thoughts then, as we sing, guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Psalm 117:117, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I'm going to give everyone their starting notes on this one. I like how we did that the last couple of nights. So I'm going to start with the starting pitch, the do. Do, bass, do, mi, alto, sol, soprano, do, tenor, back down to do. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty, hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread
after death, after they crossed the Jordan River, they entered into the Canaan, into the land that was promised back in Genesis 12. God promised Abram this land. And here, hundreds of years later, the descendants of Abraham, they're able to go into this promised land. And that is the parallel for us. We see us going into heaven, that promised land. And we're grateful, we're mindful how blessed we are. And so we'll read from Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read the first 11 verses. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed entered that rest, just as he has said, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest," although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again in this passage, "They shall not enter my rest." Therefore, since it remains for some to enter, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as it has been said before, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, and you know, in this situation, if he had truly given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. This time, we'll sing of "On Jordan's Stormy Banks" as we think about entering that land.
If you're looking with or using a book, number 254. Appreciate your remarks. We all today stand on Jordan's stormy banks, and we're just a breath away from dying. And as we travel this life, the first part of this verse says, "I stand on Jordan's stormy banks and cast a wishful eye." We all should have that hope of being able to enter into the promised land. Number 254.
Oh, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to kingdoms fair and happy land where my possessions lie. We will me.
come to the end of our time in this hour. And so I leave you with these thoughts. So grateful again that we can come together and appreciative of these men who have led us in worship. Let us always remember our time on this earth. God's wisdom that he saw, he knew exactly what our lives were going to be like. And thus we have this example before us. I pray you take that with you. And you're encouraged by these men who have led this morning. Well, thank you again for your time. We'll go ahead and break at this point in time. Thank you.